Bun venit la Work Sounds, un podcast despre muncă și HR, despre transformare și viitor, despre agilitate și progres. Work Sounds este realizat de Business Mark, o companie de organizare evenimente business ce crede în puterea schimbului de idei și a conversațiilor autentice între profesioniști.
Hello everybody and welcome to Work Sounds. I am Andreea Drăgan, co-founder of Business Mark and your host for today's episode. We are recording from Tomorrow at Work conference in Bucharest at the Marriott Hotel. And I'm very happy to welcome our special guest today, Alexander Mulder, a talent development expert. So welcome, Alexander.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for flying to Bucharest. So, Alexander, I'll jump right into it.
Sure.
We're discussing a lot of technology today, mm-hmm. at this conference, of course, as we are talking about the future of work.
Yes.
So we are living times of massive transformation. We see technology gradually being integrated into a company's DNA. Mm-hmm. And my first question for you is, did you see this coming? Or did you have mm-hmm. to unlearn certain assumptions about the future to manage these times and to adapt?
I think we always have to kind of unlearn certain things to move forward, but I don't think technology in that sense came as a surprise for, I think, most of the people in my field. I think what we did underestimate, or what I see happening more and more, is the increase of speed when it comes to adopting technology, and also kind of the psychological impact that it has on the people who use it. I mean, I think for years we've talked about that digital revolution and how we implement it into organizations. And now, obviously, it's not preparation anymore. It's here, AI is here, automation is here, data platforms are here. But what I think is really interesting at the moment, it's that the challenge is not becoming the technology anymore, but it's becoming the humans who are actually using the technology, because it is changing so rapidly. And I think what is changing within that as well is that people are constantly being asked to relearn how they work. I think 10, 15 years ago, you could learn a skill and you could use that skill for a good amount of time. You'd be set, you'd be okay. And today, that kind of that half-life of skills is so much shorter than it used to be. And I think that is really the challenge. And I think the future skills that we need to focus on is not learning one skill once, but it's really about how do I continuously start to change and to learn and use all the changes in technology that come with us.
Yeah, well, I think we use the term active resilience for
for a reason.
Yeah, and this is apparently the right mindset for the employees that are navigating this very these very uncertain times.
Yeah.
Or anti-fragility is also a term that we sometimes use. Anyway, it has to do with adapting.
For sure.
But we can't actually leave them alone during this process, right?
Yeah.
So how can leaders and companies truly support employees through these times of change without causing further burnout? Because that's also a big problem, as we know.
Yeah. It's a challenge, because I like the idea of resilience, obviously. But I also recognize that it should come with a little bit of caution in the way that organizations talk about it. And the reason that I say that, because sometimes the word resilience becomes a very polite way of saying, hey, things are moving faster, deal with it. And that's not resilience, that's survival. And I think real resilience comes about how the work is designed, not just about how individuals and humans behave with it. And I think there are a couple of things that matter a lot with that. First is clarity. I think when people aren't really sure about what actually matters, they burn energy in all different directions because there's no prioritization.
Yeah.
That causes burnout. The second is complexity. I think many people today, talking about technology, obviously, we're struggling and juggling a lot of different tools, too many priorities, and too many initiatives. And that is just very, very challenging for people. And I think the third one within that, we talked about it a little bit just now, is kind of capability as well. We're expecting people to adopt these technologies. We're expecting them to use it and use it in the ways that they work. But people need time to actually learn how to use them and use them properly. And at the moment, we're at that crossroad where we need to be careful that people don't burn out because they're constantly being asked to not only learn new things, but also put them into practice.
Yeah, and of course we know that growth is exponential right now.
Yeah.
So we used to have enough time to adapt.
Yeah.
There was an innovation, then there was enough time for us to adapt to that. But now everything moves a lot faster. So that is, of course, a very big problem for us. Maybe we should also talk about how we support people in developing, you know, and going towards this future career for themselves. So there's a lot of talk about this mix, talent mix, and remix, in because we need to reshape teams right now. So, but there are different approaches regarding, you know, bring recruitment, external recruitment, and internal development. How do you see this balance between the two of them?
I think it's a discussion that's happening in so many organizations at the moment. And if I simplify that discussion, at least the way that I'm hearing it as well, it's, I would say buying talent is generally fast but fragile. While building talent is slower, but I also think it's more sustainable. I think when companies rely too heavily on external hiring, there are a couple of few predictive things that happen. It gets really expensive. Internal employees often feel overlooked, and knowledge often leaves the organization together with the people that leave it as a result. And that said, I mean, some capabilities are genuinely new. You need to get people from external to be able to do that. But you need to bring in that expertise where you need it, and you need to build a system that you ensure that people, also if you get them from external, but they continue to grow internally as well. And I think one of the causes, at least my hypothesis for this, is also we've seen organizations become flatter over the years. Less layers. And I understand that we want to take that kind of bureaucracy out of and hierarchy out of some companies, but with that also exist and come with it bigger gaps between different layers in the organization. And preparing people and supporting them to develop within that as well, instead of only getting people in externally, is really the sustainable way forward.
Well, we've been discussing tech revolution for years. I think we've reached this stage where we need to move from understanding the technology toward making the right strategy for for our teams and our companies. So many organizations have some digital tools. We hear that a lot in our conferences. Have the right digital tools, but they fail to see a shift in performance. So why do you think this is happening right now? What's the missing link?
I think very simply said, technology, it's a tool. So it changes what it's possible, but it doesn't automatically change how people behave. So we can introduce all these nice tools and all these nice platforms, but in order to have them add the value that they we want them to add, we need to also invest in the changes in how people behave and use that technology. I always equate it to the very, very simple solution. I remember being in a number of different conversations at conferences, business meetings, etc. And especially when I was really heavily invested in learning and development, people would say and turn around and go, well, we bought this new LMS, right? Learning management software.
Yeah.
But we don't see an uptick in learning. I say, well, correct, because you introduced a tool, you didn't change behavior. And I think that the danger there is if we rely too much on thinking that we can buy a solution to a problem instead of actually trying to solve the problem with the people that we have, you can throw ungodly amounts of money at your problems, but they're still not going to be solved.
I would like to get back to that, the thing you mentioned about the speed of change. Mm. So this is really important because we are living in this era of anxiety and depression and burnout, and there's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
So the speed is very important. Mm-hmm. We don't have time to adapt, as I mentioned before. So how can an HR professional, an HR leader right now, distinguish between a strategic thing or program that should be definitely implemented in the company.
Yeah.
And I don't know, a nice program, a shiny object, something that looks very good on paper, but has no results.
Yeah.
In the end, how do you differentiate the two?
I think this is a challenge in HR, generally speaking, because I think, funnily enough, I don't think we have that reputation, but HR is quite trend driven. Uh-huh. I think every year, really, there's a new kind of hot thing to follow and to try and things like that. But the way that I tend to approach this, and I think would benefit most people with it, is just to ask a very, very simple question before doing anything. And that is, what problem are we solving? Uh-huh. Because if we don't understand what the problem is, we don't really know what solution we need. So stepping back and ensuring that you understand what the problem is, then you can start thinking of solutions. And then you can also distinguish more easily between, is that new shiny thing the answer to the problem that I have, or do I need to step back and think about something that is truly maybe tested and already works? I don't know. Or maybe that solution doesn't exist and we need to find a different way of solving that problem. I think going back to that one simple question is very, very simple, because otherwise you're also turning it, and then what you're doing doesn't become an initiative, but it just stands at being an activity, right? You're just doing stuff, but you're not really knowing why you're doing it.
And that causes burnout.
And that we go back indeed to tools and human behavior and burnout and stuff like that. It's challenging in that sense because, there is so much nice stuff out there and there are so many incredibly talented people creating amazing solutions. And we see that, and the business see that, and our providers see that. Mm-hmm. But linking the right things to each other is the real challenge, and that's what we're there for, really.
Yeah, is this partnership, you think, between human machine partnership, this augmented humanity reality that we are talking about, is it still scary for people, you think, or we kind of got used to it? What do you think?
I think there are two groups within that. I think there are definitely groups and companies still that would rather stick their head in the sand and go, it doesn't exist. Right? They're
still?
Maybe for sure. I could name a few. I won't, but I could name a few. They don't want to experiment with it. They want tried and tested things because of that uncertainty. And there's another group of organizations that they are curious. They want to start experimenting. They want to try out these new things. And I think both reactions to that are normal.
Normal.
I mean, it's human nature in that sense. And I think if we look at history, every major technological shift has come with that uncertainty and groups that adopt and groups that are maybe try to stop or late adopters
within
that.
Yeah.
There are very few companies that have not adopted the Industrial Revolution. it might take a while, but we're all there now. And to kind of go back to what I said in my previous answer as well, is that I think where we see kind of that collaboration happening at the moment between the humans and machines is it's about not if this technology is replacing people we work with, but it's about how the people work with all these new tools and options that we have. Because that's where we're going. It is inevitable.
No way around it.
I don't think there's a way around it, because to go back to the cliche, and I'm sorry to say this, but the only constant is change. And that changes, as we talked about, more and more rapidly as we move forward. So when it's not going to change, it's not going to go backwards. The question is, and what is uncertain, is how it will move forwards. But there is a collaboration between us and how we use this technology and the technology itself.
Sometimes board expectations are quite different.
Yes.
From what we, you know, a HR professional sees working day by day.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, especially the skill gap. Mm-hmm. So how do you bridge the expectations of top managers, mm-hmm. the board expectations, and strategy and plans with the skill gap that we see right now?
I think what we need to continue to communicate in that sense and make clear for kind of both parties within that conversation is that indeed those board conversations, they happen at a very high level, right? They're about growth, they're about transformation, they're about new markets, things like that. But employee experience work is at a very practical level.
Yeah.
It's in very practical terms. And I think the best way that we can translate between the two is by doing things such as capability mapping, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's simply figuring out, asking the question, what capabilities must our people have in order to, for this strategy that you have set to succeed? And I think one of the key parts that we in HR play within that is playing the role of making that translation and understanding the language of the board and where we want to go as an organization, and at the same time translating that to, okay, but what does this mean for people in practical terms?
And I think not an easy job.
Not an easy job. And it also requires us to speak two languages, right? And sometimes we're the good guys in that, and sometimes we're the bad guys in that, maybe more regularly the bad guys than the good guys. Because that is the challenge that we face. Boards need to remember that the people within their organizations, if they like it or not, are the people that need to move them towards the strategy goals that they have set. And at the same time, employees must remember that we have a certain direction to go, and we need to continue to develop our capabilities in order to do that. Transparency for both parties within that are necessary to create kind of an equilibrium between the two.
Mm-hmm. Well, companies definitely can adapt.
Yes, if they want.
Can adapt.
Yeah.
And they want to adapt because, of course, this is the business goal. But educational institutions usually adapt slowly sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What would you say to students nowadays? What are the most important things that they need to be learning right now?
Yeah.
For the future of work, to get ready for the future of work.
I think I alluded it to a little bit earlier on, but I think back in the day we went to school and we learnt something, so to say, back in the day, historically speaking. We went to school, we learnt something, and we were able to put that into practice. That's how we did it.
Yeah.
Right?
We learned how to do certain, certain things.
And what we obviously see now is that we're realizing that the future of work isn't really about specific tools, because those tools and those models and those ways of working are constantly changing. What people need instead are adaptable capabilities. So I think learning how to learn, for instance, is massively important. I think we've learned, historically speaking, if we look at our education system, we've learned to remember, and maybe we've learned to put into practice. But I don't think we've spent enough time yet into really learning how to learn, to be adaptable, adaptive within that process. And then I also think collaboration and communication are extremely important and things to master, especially for students coming into the organization. Again, because things change so rapidly, and we see now also that work just becomes more interdisciplinary. It becomes more and more global, different cultures collaborating and communicating with each other. Understanding that and being able to do that successfully, I think, really makes a difference in how successful someone will be moving forward. So I think if you look at it into the future, I don't think it's about who knows the most. I think it's about those who can learn the fastest, and those are the ones that are going to be most successful.
Mulțumim că ați ascultat Work Sounds, un podcast Business Mark.